saying they don't hear it out here well. Testing 1, 2, 3. That's better. It's better. Okay. All right. Well, happy Tuesday, everyone. we have as our speaker today, Mrs. Vicki Mears. And yay! And we're so excited. So, Vicki, come and share with us what God has given you for us today. Amen.
Thank you guys for being here. I appreciate it. And just wanted to ask the Lord to bless this time together and to make our words his words and our thoughts his thoughts and our heart his heart, because we need him and he's the most important part of our life. So in Jesus' name, we just ask, Father, that you would fulfill our opening hearts, our opening ears, and our ability to hear, receive, and take you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. So the question that has been on my mind for a number of reasons is, why seek Jesus first? And really, it's come out of the opportunity I've had to share with young people, some young women that I've been, Norm says phone ministry, but honestly just sharing the Lord with some younger people who aren't as close in as we might be. And so I noticed that all the different issues that they had, some didn't believe that they couldn't understand being really saved. Some couldn't understand some of the new things that we know, like the Pentecostal things, the baptized in the Holy Spirit and things like that. And so some were having issues with a spouse, whatever. But as I was just praying for the Lord to just give me some wisdom about what's going on here? What's the bottom line here? And the bottom line is that they've been talking to everyone else, some believers, some not believers, some friends, some family, it doesn't matter. But what they found, they weren't seeking the Lord first, which was creating a lot of the issues that they had. And so even though we, as longtime believers, have a relationship with the Lord, and we do try to seek him with our whole heart, and we do spend time with him, I think it's really important for us to go back over some things that we sometimes take for granted, and also to point these people back to Jesus, because he really is the only thing that we can count on to give us the wisdom that we need for these days and the relationships. So the question that I'm taking on, and I wanted to tell you that there's no fill in the blanks, so you can just simply listen and let your heart receive, or you can try to follow along, but I may be popping in some comments along the way, and then you'll have this to reference. But the Lord surprised me with some scriptures that I would say are fresher to me. And as I've been writing this out, I have been extremely blessed, because as I was doing this and thinking of all these people and all these issues and all this stuff, and the Lord said, this is for you too. And I'm like, yeah, I understand. I need to be reminded not only to seek him first, but to make sure that my time is spent with him every day. And I do that. I have a quiet time. It's not as long as I'd like it to be, but I thought I'd share a few things about that with you. So we know that with Jesus, the first thing we need to know is that nothing compares to him. No mom, no dad, no pastor, no sister, brother, husband. It doesn't matter. Nothing compares with the Lord and our relationship with Him. And that was the one thing that when I was a single person and I was considering the idea of finding someone, the idea was if there existed such a person, I wanted them to love the Lord like I did. And I wanted them to put Him first. And I wanted them to know, and that's my Norman here, but I wanted them to know that regardless of what I thought or what I said or how I felt, if He was strongly being led by the Lord to override me as a wife, that my job was to follow Him and to be led of the Lord. So nothing compares to the Lord and nothing compares to a relationship with Him, because that's where the truth is, that's where our life is. And He gives us exactly what we need, not what we've asked for, not yes, sometimes, but not in the natural, I guess is what I wanted to say. He gives us what we need. And so I'm hungry for needing to know Him better and to hear Him better and to understand better and to be able to share Him better. That's really important to me, because I feel very strongly that we're probably in a time when the only thing that we can give someone, which we always think, well, the last thing you do is pray. No, that's the first thing. It's the first thing we do. We pray first and not do everything else first. And then if that doesn't work, then we'll try prayer. And I don't know why, but we're all kind of trained up in that with that thought. So He is the way, He is the truth, and He's the life, and we can trust Him. So Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And all these things had to do with what people were worrying about, what they were going to eat, what their clothes, what was happening in the world, the worries and cares and needs personally. He said He's going to take care of that for us. So I went back to the why of the quiet times, not a formula, not rules, do it this way and don't do it that way, no, but just the why of a quiet time, because we need to be reminded that He's the only one with the answers, okay? So it's good if we show up daily. It's good if we are in a relationship with Him and take time to be with Him and to fellowship with Him and to hear the truth. So you don't have to be anxious about your life. You can make a conscious decision to turn toward God instead of anxiety or worry or fear or doubt or unbelief or depression. So we spend time alone with God for an intimate communion through prayer. And prayer is just talking to God. And it's also listening. God often meets us personally through the scripture. That's how He has spoken to me many times. I'll be reading the word and I'll hear Him tell me something that has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm reading. And I'm like, wow, was that you, Lord? But it's an idea that my brain did not have. I have no idea where that came from. And it's good. So Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We know the promises of God, and then we're strengthened to stand firm against sin, because sin is what separates us from the Lord. So our job is not to be separated from Him, but to be drawn to Him. Our relationship with Him deepens because we spend time with Him through His word and prayer and talking to Him and listening to Him. And I wanted a reminder about repentance, okay? Because even though we are Christians and we know the Lord and we trust Him, we need a heart attitude for salvation and also for keeping with the righteousness of God, so that we're trusting in His grace, not in assuming that we have forgiveness And I can tell you that at one time the Lord brought forth some really challenging things in my own personal life. And I kept saying, it must be the devil reminding me of this. It must be the devil reminding me of that. But it was still that gentle voice that kept coming up. I said, Lord, is that you? And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I just hit the ground. I went on my face and I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I am truly sorry. I had no idea. I asked him, wasn't I already forgiven for that? And he said, no, you forgave yourself. It's called presumptuous sin. And so I just want to remind us that our heart needs to be willing to hear him and to keep him first place. And if he shows us something, to go ahead and tell him how we are turning away from that or sorry that we never asked for forgiveness. So we honor him with thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And when we enter in, we can sing songs. We can open our mouth saying scriptures. We can say, I trust you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I need your help. In Isaiah 40:31, the word says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hebrews 6:12 says, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we trust in the Lord. And Proverbs 3:5-6 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So I know we know these scriptures. I know we've heard them before. But I can just tell you from personal experience that when you hit the wall, and I have been there, and I'm sure every one of us has or will be more than one time, where we can't fix it, we don't know what's happening, nothing makes sense in our life. And it happened to me when my late husband was passing away. He was very ill. And to me, I could see that he was not going to be on the earth much longer. Yet he was making some bad decisions, and he was spending a lot of money trying to cling to life, and I was panicking about it. And for the first time, we were not in agreement, and it was not pleasant, and it was hard, and I was scared, and I had no one. I was in a place where I was in another state. I didn't have church. I didn't have family. I didn't have friends. I was totally isolated. And I felt myself cracking. And I went to the Lord and I said, what is it? He's spending this money. He's doing these things. He's making these decisions. And it's crazy. And I don't know, am I crazy? Am I not seeing that he's getting better? Or am I just in a wrong place? And the Lord said, it doesn't matter about the dog. It doesn't matter about the fence. It doesn't matter about the money, because I have my hand on you. And it snapped me, and I went, okay. I'm like, came back. I was literally cracking on the spot. So I said to the Lord, okay, does that mean even if he dies that I have to trust you? Because we kept hoping and thinking that that wasn't going to happen. And the Lord didn't answer me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust you. Even if he dies. The peace of God hit me. I went back in. I said to him, I have every intention of getting you well. And he threw his hands up to the Lord like, thank you. It was the last few weeks of his life, and we lived it in perfect peace, in perfect calm, and I had no fear. I had no terror. I had no questions because God said he had his hand on me. So where did that come from? Well, at that time, every day at 4 o'clock, which was the only time I could find it for myself, I got up and spent quiet time with the Lord. And that day, I memorized the scripture, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path." That was all I could do. But the point is, we never know what the day is going to hold. You might think you're fine one minute and the next minute you're not. Or the world that you're living in is turned upside down. And it's God's the only place we can go. And we need him. Number two says, seek Jesus first because he's God. Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. John 1:14 in the Amplified says, the Word Christ became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. He is the reality. This that we see, it's not reality. Our five senses are never going to hit reality. We've got to be in the Spirit and hear the Word and know the Word. Philippians 2:6-7 says, who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. I like this description in Colossians 1:15-17 in the Amplified. Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation, for it was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen, things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things were created and exist through him by service and intervention, and in him and for him. And he himself existed before all things in him. All things consist. They're cohered and are held together. Colossians 2:9 in the Amplified says, for in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Hebrews 1:3, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. You know, God named Jesus through the angel. And Jesus means to be a deliverer or to rescue. Jesus means God saves. The third point is that we need to seek Jesus first because he's wisdom. Now, before I say too much, I just want to say that that Bible is full of reasons that we need to seek him first, because that's written for us. And as I was studying this, I was asking the Lord about some things. And he said, just give them my word, which is written by my spirit. So I'm sharing these scriptures to freshen us and to give us a reason to seek the Lord first. He is wisdom. One time I did a study on grace, and I asked the Lord, give me a good, I know all the sayings about grace, God's riches for Christ's glory and that kind of thing. It was just favor of the Lord, all that. And I'm like, no, I want to hear from you. How do you define grace? And I waited a minute, and the Lord said, Jesus. I'm like, wow. So I took the scriptures, and I went every place through the Bible that it said grace, and I plugged in the word Jesus, and they fit perfectly. So I found myself doing the same thing when it came to these words I'm giving you. Wisdom is another one of those words. Before Jesus was on the earth, Solomon had the most wisdom of anyone. And he wrote in Proverbs about wisdom. And what he said about wisdom was Jesus. You could say it, you can read it, you can plug it in, you can hear it. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Before Solomon had any idea what he was talking about, he called it wisdom. Proverbs 2, 6, and 7 said, for the Lord gives wisdom. I can say, for the Lord gives Jesus. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up Jesus for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Proverbs 2, 10, and 11. I'll just say it like this. When wisdom, Jesus, enters the heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Wisdom, Jesus, is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her, Jesus. Counsel is mine. Counsel is Jesus. And sound wisdom is Jesus. I am understanding. I have strength, Jesus. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, Jesus says. And those who seek me, Jesus, diligently will find me, Jesus. Proverbs 8:19. My fruit is better than gold, yes, fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Well, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Jesus. That's Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus. The Lord, in Proverbs 8:22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Proverbs 8:27, when he prepared the heavens, I, Jesus, was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, Jesus was there. Proverbs 8:31-30. Then I, Jesus, was beside him as a master craftsman, and I, Jesus, was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my, Jesus, delight was with the sons of men. Proverbs 8:34-36. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me, Jesus, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. That's the separation from God for all eternity. Proverbs 9:10-11. We're still on the wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, Jesus, is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. So not only is Jesus wisdom, Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom of the ages. If you have any question, the answer is always Jesus. It's too simple. We can't fathom it. The answer is always Jesus. The fourth example is about Jesus. We go to him first because he is righteousness. And again, you can plug it in. You can plug in the name Jesus for righteousness, and it works most times. Righteousness is conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. And that's what Jesus did. And I'm at the place where I'm not out and about that much, so one thing I'm noticing is that I have to guard my mouth, then I also have to guard my thoughts, because the Lord knows our thoughts. And even Jesus, in his human man, he did not speak evil. He probably didn't think it, because he was trusting God and living in the divine will, in the divine purpose, in divine thought, and in divine action. Here are some examples of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jeremiah 23 says in verse 6, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Romans 10:10 in the New King James says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, or into Jesus, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's why we pray with people and ask them to say it out loud. Because confessing with our mouth is saying it, and we take it when we say it. Philippians 3:8-9. This was Paul. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he, Jesus, loves him who follows righteousness. Proverbs 12:28, and we're still talking about righteousness. In the way of righteousness is life. In the way of Jesus is life. And in its pathway there's no death. Jesus said, I am the life. And in his pathway there is no death. There's no permanent separation from God because of Jesus. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. If you remember the parable about the wedding feast, when they went out and invited everyone to come to the wedding of the Son and that wonderful feast. The Lord came and looked around at all the crowd, and he saw someone who didn't have their wedding clothes on. And he kicked him out. Right? What were the wedding clothes? The wedding clothes was the robe of righteousness, the robe of Jesus. He was not. He said, "How did you get in here?" He was not prepared for the wedding feast. Romans 1:16 through 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greeks. But in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just, the righteous, shall live by faith.'" And the last scripture we have is 1 John 2:29. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." So the bottom line really is this. The Lord calls us to himself. He's calling us every day. He needs to have our attention to be able to direct our path. The Lord knows when you don't answer out of ignorance. Like Paul, even though he was abusing, killing, and sending people to their death and pulling them out of their houses who were the first Christians, what did he say in the Word? He said, "I was ignorant. I thought I was helping God, but I wasn't." That is a part of the heart that the Lord knows. The Lord also knows what rebellion is. And rebellion is refusing to come to him when you know and you don't do it. And I'm putting this to all of us, but particular to myself, that I sense the calling of the Lord to spend more time with him and to seek him more strongly with my whole heart, because none of us know what's coming. And if I don't do it, that's rebellion. And I fix it very quickly. As a Christian, we check ourselves and we let him show us and we repent. And we tell him in a simple way that we are sorry and we're not going to continue in that path. So don't forget that repentance is a part of who we are with the Lord. And keeping, Pastor used to say, keep a short record with him. What was that record? Keep a short what?
Account.
So we keep a short account. If we are rebelling in some way, or if we feel we've offended him, we go quickly back to him. We run to him, not from him. Okay? So let's just say it like this. Why really, with every answer on every page in the Word of God those words written for us, why do we serve? And why do we go to Jesus first? And the real bottom line is this. Because he loves us. Because he loves us first. Jesus himself said these words in John 3:16. This is from Jesus' own mouth. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And we need to share that kind of love so that we can send people to the Lord's feet and we can do the same. Because while we were still sinners, he died for us. Amen and amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you today and we ask in Jesus' mighty name that we would take a stand for your kingdom. We would take a stand for the Lord Jesus. We would take a stand for the love that you and you alone can give us. We have no righteousness of our own. We have no wisdom of our own. We cannot even love like you would have us to love. But Lord Jesus, in Jesus we can do all things. And by him and in him, according to your holy word, we can do all things that you call us to do. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would set us free. We bind up fear and doubt. We bind up personal opinions and how we think we look or what we think we sound like or how people would respond to us. But we rededicate our hearts to come to you in the name of Jesus in love and to take your love back out and give it to those whose souls are headed to eternal separation from you. We thank you for that new beginning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good job.
Thank you.
Did she do well? Praise the Lord. If we had gotten here earlier, we would have handed out the white handkerchiefs. You know, we used to do that in the South. Now, I wanted to kind of give you a report on Tim Pritchard. Ronnie and I were up there yesterday evening for about an hour, from about, 5 to 6 o'clock. And bottom line, he is having to have dialysis for his kidneys. And so he was really reaching out. He was very low when we got there. And we just really gave him the word and a lot of encouragement. You know, so we need to pray for him. But it just hit me this morning. I think the best thing we can do is just give thanks, the prayer of thanksgiving. We've done a lot of praying for him. Now we need to start giving thanks for the answers. Because the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So we all good with that? So, Father, we send the word to Pastor Tim right now and Paul as well. And Lord, we thank you in advance that you're already working on his behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he is, according to your word, he is already healed. And so, Lord, we will stand on that, but we will also give thanks as to the way you operate. There is an operation of the Holy Spirit, and you move in that operation any way you choose to move. And we don't dictate terms with you, Lord. We know that. And so we just lift our hand and we say, thank you, Father, that you are more loving toward him than any of us. We understand that. And so, Lord, we give thanks to you today. Whatever way you choose to bring healing, we thank you for it. It's done. It's finished. And we're at peace with that. And let them be at peace with it as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Good.